Becky, the host of the Girl on a Hill podcast, where we encourage you to stop hiding, start shining, and to be the woman you were created to be. You can download Girl on a Hill podcast on your favorite podcast app, such as Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, and Spotify. Thanks for listening, and now let's head to the hill.
Hey, welcome to Girl on a Hill. I've got Crystal with me.
Hi.
We are ready. Well, I don't know if we're ready to learn and grow.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's been a rough week for both of us.
It has been.
But we're here.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the thing, like, you don't get to choose.
Nope.
And when to grow, and you need to grow in the midst of the stuff.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
And there's always going to be the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're growing anyway. And we're going to talk about it anyway.
Okay, let's grow.
So I'm excited, though. These are good topics we're mm-hmm. recording today. We're continuing our series on the different types of rest
mm-hmm.
because I think most of us simply aren't actively pursuing
no.
the restoration we need.
Mm-hmm.
I think we think it'll happen magically.
Mm-hmm. I keep waiting for it.
I know. And as author Sandra Dalton Smith put it, we like the thought of rest being simple.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That if we go to sleep, that should solve all of our restorative needs.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, there are types of rest that sleep cannot solve.
Yeah.
So a lot of us, even after a good night's sleep, we wake up tired. And this can be an indication that you're not getting enough of the other types
right.
of rest,
mm-hmm.
which is why we're going to get into them. So we started with the physical rest.
Right, which is important.
Yeah. But that's the one we all kind of know about.
Right.
Now we're going to hit the ones you probably don't think about, but you definitely need. I know today is I really need. This matters. We're going to answer. We're trying to answer the burnout and soul exhaustion
mm-hmm.
that isn't just going to go away with sleep. So now I feel like creative rest, which is what we're talking about
okay.
today, is one of the types of rest that is the most misunderstood.
Fair.
Okay. We hear creative rest
mm-hmm.
and maybe people think that means we need to do a bunch of creative things.
It kind of puts me into a little bit of a panic.
Right? Same. Because I don't really like crafts.
I'm not creative.
Well, that's...
I'm not very creative.
See, yes, I used the word panic. I'm like, and all the non-crafty people panic.
I didn't remember what the topic was. And I was like, ooh, I don't have the answer for this.
But that's a total misconception. One, creativity is not just limited to crafts. Yeah. But however you unleash your brand of creativity, we have to remember this is about rest,
right.
not about doing more.
Okay.
This is a rest from creativity in order to restore your creativity.
Okay.
So you got to let the cup fill back up if you want to keep using it.
Fair.
So if you're worried we're going to tell you to cure your exhaustion and mental burnout by adding a whole bunch of junk to your plate, don't worry.
Thank you.
Yes.
For not.
No,
I don't
no,
have
no.
any more space.
No, no. This is about restoration and replenishing your God-given creativity, not about learning how to macrame.
Okay.
So no worries. Want some definitions?
Yes. Okay. I need some.
I need some too, because again, this is tough to wrap your mind around.
Mm-hmm.
This is from Beyond the Panorama.
Mm-hmm.
Creative rest requires you to shut off the part of your brain that actively tries to solve problems.
Oh.
Hmm. Yes. We're going to get into this.
I would have put that portion in creativity, but I
problem
guess.
We're going to get into problem okay. solving, but it is an enormous part of being creative.
Okay. I guess I need this rest.
Yeah. I got smacked with it too. Like, oh. From the book Sacred Rest, this definition, creative rest is allowing white space in your life and giving room for your creativity to show up. Creative rest lets you focus on your basic need for wonder.
Oh.
Isn't that awesome?
Okay.
I love that. Like, I can get behind that. Shape.com said, engaging with things that inspire and motivate you, such mm-hmm. as nature and art.
Okay.
Right. Like, doesn't this sound kind of nice? Like,
yeah,
I want this. And this is one of the most beautiful definitions I've heard. This is from goskippingstones.com. Some motorcycles in the battleground today. Creative rest is the process of beauty refueling your soul.
Oh.
Creative rest is the type of rest that inspires us and fills our soul with imagination and excitement. I want that.
I want that too.
I want that bad. Now, here are some signs you need it.
Okay.
Okay. Now, right off the bat, Integris Health says this. People who work in fields requiring problem solving, mm-hmm. brainstorming new ideas, mm-hmm. designing or writing must make creative rest a non-negotiable priority.
Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and add in most parents.
I mean, like what job would it include something of that?
That's a really good point. That's a really good point. So basically all people.
Okay.
Yeah. Back to as parents, even if you're like, well, I don't work. Well, if you have got a kid, I have found that so much of my energy goes into troubleshooting with the kids or helping diffuse situations or mm-hmm. figuring out scheduling and logistics mm-hmm. for six people. So this is one of the types of rest I need the most because my life requires me to use a lot of creative energy.
Mm-hmm.
Here are some other signs you need it.
Okay.
Feeling like you're out of good ideas mm-hmm. or like brainstorming is getting you nowhere. When problem solving feels really hard.
Mm-hmm.
When molehills feel like mountains.
Mm-hmm.
They're mountains for me so often. If you haven't noticed, I mean, like really, truly seen and admired something beautiful lately, mm-hmm. you are probably experiencing creative fatigue.
Interesting.
Yeah. If you're apathetic to your surroundings, mm-hmm. or maybe you've lost appreciation for creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I've been in that place where you're even somewhere beautiful and you're like, meh. If you're always focused on the needs of others,
mm-hmm.
when you feel selfish doing something for yourself,
mm-hmm.
if you're a constant planner, Becky hangs her head in shame, if you finish one thing and then you're right on to the next thing.
Yeah.
Doing things for the sake of enjoyment is not a thing for you.
Ouch.
Mm-hmm. And this goes along with it. Now, if you are doing something quote unquote fun, mm-hmm. like reading or listening to a podcast, it's enrichment based only.
Oh.
Like, oh, well, I don't have much time for read, so I better read a learning book.
Right.
I better read a nonfiction. Like, you have no space for anything for the fun of it.
Mm-hmm.
I hear so many women tell me that kind of stuff.
I bet.
Like, no, it's okay. Listen to something fun. And you only do things, quote unquote, on the list.
Mm.
Okay. People might be feeling like a little more like, oh, mm-hmm. yeah, this is me. You want to know how we got here?
Yes, please.
Okay. One of the reasons is just there are different seasons of life that require a little more problem solving right. than others.
Absolutely.
At first, you might not think this applies to you. But I mean, like you said, the average person has to troubleshoot and come up with solutions more often than you think.
Oh, yeah. Every day.
I mean, it was things we're not even because we're just so used to it. Yeah. Like, no, that's you're coming up with
no matter solutions. What job you're in.
Exactly. And then there are seasons that require more in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Like anytime you're facing a conflict,
mm-hmm.
Any season of change,
mm-hmm.
doing anything new means you're going to need to make adjustments, figure mm-hmm. out things differently. Other examples, having a kid,
mm-hmm.
a child entering a new phase,
right?
Getting married, starting a new job, mm-hmm. retiring, having your spouse retire,
mm-hmm.
moving, entering a season with more obligations, all of that is figuring out
right.
how to do something differently. Yeah, any kind of problem solving, especially constant problem solving, is taxing.
Right. It is exhausting.
It is. It takes so much out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now reason number two, how did we get here? This is not about what we produce. It's about what we take in.
Okay.
Because again, we think creativity is about, oh, me painting. No, mm-hmm. We're talking about what you take in today. Another way to say that is creative rest isn't about output, it's about input. And we've discussed that creative rest is about taking in beauty and surrounding ourselves with things that fill us with awe and wonder and delight.
Hmm.
And I think most of us aren't taking in a whole lot of beauty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're just
if you're not looking not. For it, then you're not really seeing it.
No. And so many of us are spending so much of our time just staring at our phone or our TV or on our couch. And not that there can't be beautiful things inside your home, but most of us aren't being intentional about surrounding ourselves with beauty. And we're also really task-oriented, most of us, and work-focused. And we feel so busy and we don't literally take time to smell the roses. We're not that kind of people. We're just got to get it done. Got to get the next thing done. Got to do the job. It's sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
It is really sad. Okay. This is like the truth bomb of all truth bombs. And I'm going to move my laptop so I can look you in the eye.
Oh, you've got to look at me while you punch me?
No.
Is just that how this goes?
No. This isn't like throw the hammer at Crystal. This is throw the hammer at everyone on this one. I loved the wording. We have a serious awe and wonder deficit.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I do. And it, but
I mean,
we don't,
I do.
We don't think, oh, for sure. For sure. As much as we use the word awesome, like we're not really.
We don't mean it in awe.
No, we've just, it comes off about nothing. And now I think we tend to think about awe as something rare. Like a Grand Canyon or meeting your child for the first time kind of thing is awe-inspiring. Mm-hmm. But awe is what we feel in the presence of beauty or power. Mm-hmm. And nature is one of the primary sources of awe.
Right.
And so I think even if we were just to get into nature more, we would feel more of that.
Yeah.
Awe. And so many of us, even in this gorgeous Northwest where we live, spend so little time.
I know. The beach is my absolute favorite place. It's an hour and a half away.
Right? Everything. Mountains.
Yeah.
Trees. We just don't make time for it. No. We don't prioritize it. You know, and we let ourselves off the hook. I mean, and I know we've said on here before, like, even just walking to the mailbox. Well, yes, that's better than nothing. Something is better than nothing. John Acuff said that this week, and I love it. But that can't be our always.
Right, right.
I think God designed us to be outside. He's God. And I was thinking this week, like he could have created or built any world structure he wanted to. And he put man in a garden.
Yeah.
He didn't build a city. He could have. Could have put him anywhere. He put him in a garden. And we spend so little time considering what is good. And we spend so little time enjoying our life. And we're just tasking through it. It makes me really sad.
Me too.
I want to enjoy my life.
Yeah.
Like I want to enjoy it.
Well, you think that you are. You know, like you think that you are, but when we break it down like this of like, I mean, granted, it has been a tough week.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, we don't enjoy these types of weeks.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I want to think that, that I enjoy my life, but I don't
know. We do it so passively,
I don't spend a lot of time enjoying my life.
Yeah. It's something we need to think about. We need to take an honest look at ourselves.
You want
to
know what? Heart.
Me too. Do you want to know why we need creative rest?
Yes.
Okay. Creative rest reawakens the awe and wonder inside of us. Our frantic need to create is often antithetical to creativity itself. We have to give it a rest. Arts Hub said, crucially for creative people, rest allows the brain to be in default mode, a state where thinking is more flexible and novel. I mean, that's why have you ever had an idea come to you like in the shower or on a walk or while you're driving?
Yeah.
Like that's usually when my best ideas come is when I'm not just focused, hyper driven. It's, oh, my brain is more relaxed. And now the amazing idea. I was actually on an episode of Parks and Rec we were watching at lunch today, like where they locked Leslie in a room with cats at a bed and breakfast. And like, then she came up with the idea after sleep.
I think like, of Sheldon off the Big Bang Theory.
Yes, when he wants the workaday job. Yes.
And walks out as soon as he solves the problem.
He spills the cheese encounter. Yes. But your brain is literally, it's true though. Yeah. I mean, your brain is a more creative problem solver when it is relaxed.
Yeah.
I mean, if we think about it, because we're in the red zone all the time where we're stressed and angry and we don't have logic and reason when we're stressed. So it makes sense that we're going to get our better ideas if we allow our brains to take a break. This happens to me all the time. I've had ideas for podcasts while I'm on a walk, and then I'm running home
right
to write it down before I forget. All right. You want to hear how to get it? These are the parts of these that like are super fun for me.
That's what I wait for.
Okay. How to get it. Help
me out, Becky.
These are doable. I feel like these are things we could start doing, changes we could start making now.
Okay.
The first one is, listen, people, you got to have fun. You have to have fun. I mean, and I know people who feel like it feels like their whole belief system is like, once you hit middle school, fun is over.
Middle school?
Yeah.
That's all middle school is fun. Well.
Right. Well.
It looks like it should be fun.
Harry does not love pre-algebra. I'll tell you that. But.
Well. You know,
but I know, but people, adults don't, I think most adults think that that's for children.
We lose fun as grownups.
Oh, we need fun. It's fundamental that we need fun. So, I wasn't trying to make a pun.
Were you not?
I was not. You Are know, you I
sure?
hate them.
Are you sure?
They're only okay on the Jungle Cruise. Oh, man. Okay. Here's my tip.
Okay.
Make or do something entirely for fun. Okay. Mm. Now, that sounds easy for a lot of people, but for someone like me...
It doesn't sound easy for me.
No, okay. And if you're someone like, maybe like Jolene, who really likes efficiency, mm-hmm. or someone who tends to be all about work or the bottom line, mm-hmm. i.e. me, mm-hmm. it's really easy to turn something fun into work.
But I like working.
Uh-huh. Here are some examples of how Becky has turned fun into work.
I'm okay? going to have to probably put myself in this category.
So example, uh-huh. going swimming with my kids uh-huh. this summer, which so. Should just be about splashing around, having yeah. fun in the pool. But no, I have to turn my Fitbit on to track the calories and laps.
Uh-huh.
So that's somewhere I turned something that should just be fun into work.
Did you meet your goal?
In the pool? I don't know. I mean, kind of.
I was expecting to be like, I don't remember. You remember doing it.
I tracked it. I mean, it's sad. Going out to lunch with a friend without talking about the project you're working on, ministry you're planning, the bridal shower you're throwing. Just being with your friend without any shop talk.
Okay.
Also hard for me.
Yeah.
But it's important. Okay. Now, if you're going to make something just for fun, because there are people who like making things.
Mm-hmm.
Make something that you can't or won't share on social media. Something that you're not going to profit from. Something mm-hmm. that you're not going to use as a Christmas gift.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, for me, making a podcast is creative.
Right.
But for me, it is not a break.
Right.
It is work. Or if you have an Etsy shop,
mm-hmm.
making something for that, creative. Not a break.
That's job. Like, that's yes. your job. You're not.
We have to really relearn how to do stuff for the heck of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just for the sake of doing it, for the sake of enjoying the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Enjoying yourself and having fun is enough of a reason to do it.
Right.
You don't have to pull double duty in every little thing you do.
We shouldn't.
No, you we shouldn't. Oh, well, we 100% do. Even if it's just about making the thing to make the social media post so people know that you're an awesome mom being crafty with your kids,
mm-hmm.
even if it's to have one more item in your little shop,
mm-hmm.
even you don't have to. Even if it's so that you can prove to yourself that you burned 75 calories when you should have just been playing.
And you would have burned more.
Yes. Here's another. I love this. This is a tip before we get to tips.
Okay.
Do the thing you loved to do when you were a little kid.
Because
we all had it. And what was the thing you loved to do? Do that again. Kids do not have agendas.
No.
Or ulterior motives. Like, do the thing you loved.
Yeah.
I want to make a reading fort under my card table. Or go swing.
Oh, yeah.
See, we're daydreaming about fun. Because we need it. Okay. Way to get it, number two. Restore awe and wonder.
Okay.
Here are some ideas. One, spend time with little kids because they are in awe and delighted by everything.
Yeah, I do like that.
Everything. I mean, when was the last time you thought a rock was cool?
I mean, I do like rocks.
Well, that's good. But they notice things we take for granted.
Yeah.
Like, another butterfly. Yep. Ladybug.
I was going to turn that into a rock pun for you.
Oh, boy. Oh, it's been a rough week, so I'd let you. See, she's having fun. We're going to move past it.
I know.
Become a noticer.
Okay.
It's really hard to see the world around you if you're always on your phone.
Yeah. You know what's funny is I see that all the time. I was like, that is not the person that I want to be. And, exactly. And I understand it's like somebody waiting at a bus stop.
Right.
But
right.
Their head is completely mm-hmm. down. And I mean, we've all done it.
We're oh, like, yeah.
But I purposely try not to do some of that mm-hmm. stuff because that's not, obviously I do it.
Right.
But
we all do.
Yeah. Just like, I don't want to be the person mm-hmm. out there. It's a beautiful day and have my head down.
Yeah. Not taking in
anything.
Anything. I mean, I've said it before. I've seen the people there at Disneyland on their phone.
Oh.
I'm like, no.
Don't bring your phone to Disneyland.
Or even like the most beautiful places, you know, like you're at the beach or yeah. you're at yeah. Timberline. And like, do you not see what's right? That's better than your Facebook, which will be there.
Oh.
Notice. So just start noticing that stuff. Hurts. I like this one. Look up.
Uh-huh.
If you yeah. want awe and wonder, look at the stinking sky.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't matter what time of day it is.
Yeah.
Look at the stars. Look at the sunset. Look at the sunrise. Mm-hmm. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Like, it should make you feel something.
Yeah.
Go somewhere touristy mm-hmm. near you with someone who's never been there.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, and see it through their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we take a lot of stuff for granted where we live, and wherever you're listening, you probably do too.
Thing, yeah. I mean, how many people, like if you live somewhere and there's touristy, you've yeah. never ever gone there.
Right.
You know, I mean, like there's probably places around here. It's like, well, no, I've never been there because that's a touristy mm-hmm. place. Doesn't mean it's not fun.
Or even things you've just seen a million times. That's happened. And then we bring David's family lives in the Midwest. They uh-huh. come out here. I mean, and I remember their first time seeing Multnomah Falls.
Oh,
it was like, I've been here 48,000 times. Yeah, it's a waterfall.
Yeah.
But they're like just amazed or how they're just delighted by tall trees. And I'm like,
well, the trees around here, let me see. They are not like the rest of the world.
It's a tree. But they were like fascinated. So it kind of changes the way you see things.
Uh-huh.
Ask yourself this question. Where is it that you regularly experience awe and wonder? Find the place or places that bring you the stillness that let you take in the beauty without agenda. That's going to be different for everybody.
It's the beach for me. I mean, the beach is my favorite place.
Where you just go and you have stillness and it's not about mm-hmm. other stuff.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So powerful.
Like, yeah.
The ocean is so powerful.
For me, it's Sun River, uh-huh. which is a mental reset.
Yeah.
100%. And Timberline.
Yeah.
Something transcendent comes over me when I walk in that building.
Yeah.
Or when I stand at the base and look at that mountain. Something happens. So find that place for you. It doesn't have to be our place.
No. It shouldn't actually be our place.
No. If you're like, I'm not really inspired by the beach or the mountain, like, find your thing.
Yeah, but it doesn't even have to be like something. I mean, yours is a little bit more specific. I can go to any beach.
Right.
But
it can be any.
Yeah.
Anything.
I love the stars. Mm. That no matter where yes. I'm at. Back home, I can see them more. Mm-hmm. I can find a lot more constellations than just the bare bones basic ones that I can see here. The stars make me feel
You got to come way. Look at our house.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your house would be way different.
Okay. I've got more ideas. I mean, we're rolling. Okay. Guys, you can get creative rest. Creative spaces and places.
Okay.
So immerse yourself in somebody else's creativity. If you're like, I ain't creative.
Okay, yeah.
So look at art. Mm-hmm. Listen to music. Go to a play.
Right.
Be in creativity. See what it does to you.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure there are things in your home that inspire you.
Hmm.
ThePeacefulChair.com said this. Take a look around your environment. Are you inspired by what you see? Do you have pictures or photos of people or places that make you feel happy?
Hmm.
If not, what can you do to change that? It doesn't have to be a huge undertaking. Just start with a few things and go from there.
Interesting.
I really like that idea. That's simple. Even if it's just printing out a picture of somewhere you really like, putting on your fridge.
Right.
Okay. That's a small change.
Yeah.
You don't have to have a lot of money for that. And then just ask again yourself, what experiences or environments or types of art are beautiful to you? And if you don't know, well, maybe it's time to dig in.
Look around, yeah.
Okay. Now, this next idea is triggering for some people, just the word. It's the word change. But hear me out.
Okay.
You need a change. If you can, get out of your house or your office, do it. Even if it's just to step outside for 5 minutes. So I wrote, even as I'm writing this, I'm in my favorite chair in my family room. And yes, ideas are flowing, but from my favorite chair, I see the pile that needs to be put away, the weeds out front that need to be pulled, the spots I missed vacuuming, and I'm distracted and pulled away from my creative work by the everyday stuff. So there's something magical that happens when we change locations.
Right.
Because I've said it before, a change of pace plus a change of place equals a change in perspective. And I think that's why I personally find creative rest on road trips, because it's a mental reset.
Yeah.
So change your environment, even if it's just for a couple of minutes, even if you're at work.
Right.
And you need just 5 minutes. Don't take your 5 minute break in the same chair you do your work in.
What? That's not normal?
No. Go walk around. One study found that walking outside, just walking outside the building, produced twice as many creative ideas as sitting in a room.
Nice.
So if you're stuck on something at work,
take a lap around the building. Take a lap.
I remember that my AP English teacher said that one time. He's like, if we're in class and we're writing essays for the day and you're stuck, leave the class, walk around the school, come back. Oh. And that's stuck. It does work. Okay, here's another change. If and when you can, and whenever you can, go somewhere peaceful in nature. Studies have shown our brains are most at rest in natural environments like the beach. Waves, watching waves, actually activate your parasympathetic nervous system and slow the brain. Actually, they destimulate your brain. Waves are magical. Like
they are magical.
They are designed to help you. Yeah. It is peaceful for a reason, which I think is super cool. The last one in this section is take a break from your creative projects. We're going to talk more about this in another episode, but even for me, taking small breaks from writing, whether it's the podcast or my book, make my writing better.
Right.
Sometimes we think, well, if I just push through and do more and work all night,
doesn't actually fix it.
Even just taking a small break, you need this, you desperately need the small break, whatever your job is.
Right.
Okay. And about speaking of breaks, here's another way to get it. Build breaks into your life.
Okay.
Now, the length of your break is going to change depending on your season of life and your schedule. Now, for some people, it could be half an hour. For others, you could get a whole week. But we need to start intentionally building small breaks, Sabbaths, and sabbaticals into our lives. I fought the concept of Sabbath hard for a long time because I thought it meant doing nothing.
Right.
It's not about doing nothing. I think we did an episode on Sabbath.
I think we did.
Sandra Dalton Smith had this really great idea of way of looking at it, where on a Sabbath, on a break, on a sabbatical, purposely stop any depleting activities and engage in those that rejuvenate you.
Okay.
So it's just about taking a break from the stuff that drains you and doing the stuff that fills you up. I can get behind that.
Right.
That sounds awesome.
Do we always know the stuff that drains us and the stuff that fills us up, though? I mean, I know you're going to give us more.
We're actually going to dig into what drains, figuring out what drains you in our next week's episode.
All right. I asked the right question.
Stay tuned. No, we super are. Yeah. And that's something we should always be asking ourselves and figuring out.
Change over time.
That is true.
Especially like when you have children that are going through different phases. Things are going to, of course, our life, we're not.
It's not static. Yeah, you need to always be checking in with yourself.
Yeah.
And here, when you know what it is, give yourself a break. And I'm saying, be it 5 minutes or 5 days from the activities you do that deplete and drain you. And I put, yes, as a parent, this is super hard because parenting is very depleting.
Yeah.
But take the 5 minute breaks.
Right.
Like whenever you can. And don't feel, this is a big one, moms, are you listening to me? Do not feel like you have to use every nap time productively.
Please don't.
No. Sometimes the absolute most productive thing you can do for yourself and your family is to use that nap time to just read the book you've been wanting to read.
Right.
Read the magazine. Like, lay on the couch and watch the show.
Right.
That's the most productive thing. You don't feel like you have to use every time your baby is asleep to do a chore. Mm-hmm. Do not. Take the break. It's okay. The chore
will be there again.
Yes. I used to tell moms when I led a mom's group, like, it's okay to lock yourself in the bathroom with the peanut butter cup when you need to.
Right.
Better than yelling at your kid.
Yeah.
Eat the peanut butter cup in the bathroom and cry. Like, it's fine. Ask yourself this. I know. I think that women stink at this. What do you want to do? Mm-hmm. And how often do we A, know the answer, or B, actually do it, or give ourselves freedom to do it?
The freedom.
Seldom, right? Ask yourself this. What are nature activities you love but hardly ever get to do or allow yourself to do? Mm. We all have those too. And where is somewhere you love to visit but hardly ever go? Mm-hmm. Ask yourself and then give yourself the freedom. Mm-hmm. And I know it's easy for us, even like at, you know, that work or that are busy during the week, to take our Saturdays every week and make them productive and work filled. Like,
right.
Maybe use a Saturday sometimes to go do something that fills you back up.
Right.
It's important and you deserve it. Do you want some tips?
I need some
or
tips.
Truths?
All of the above, please.
Okay. These are some truths more than some tips today. We do not let things marinate.
Right.
And I don't mean chicken.
I know.
Okay. Christine Garvey talked about this on her website and it resonated for me. So often, even when we do take in beauty, whether that means we get out into nature and take in a waterfall or go see an exhibit at the art museum, our typical response is to take it in and then take some kind of action or make some meaning of it right away. We feel like it's not enough to just be in the experience. We often feel like we have to do something with it. Mm-hmm. She said our inclination is to either produce something, i.e. a social media post, a piece of art inspired by what we saw, etc., or synthesize the experience by trying to come up with an insight gained from it. Mm. I feel this.
Right.
Where it's just we're doing the thing to post on Instagram that we were there. It was just about the post. It wasn't about taking it in. Or I have to feel like I have to come up with this deep thing. No, just be.
Right.
Just be. For some of us, again, this means taking a walk without tracking your calories, mm-hmm. or not turning every trip to the museum into a learning opportunity.
Right.
I'm going to say this as a homeschool mom, too. Sometimes kids need to be able to read a book or go somewhere just for the sake of enjoying it.
Right.
Without the discussion questions or the synthesizing. Just, I want my kids to learn that, yeah, you can just do this thing because it's fun.
Right. We want them to do better as grown-ups.
Exactly. And I'm like, oh, that crud. That means I need to lead by example.
Right.
Okay. Or, here's some more. Not figuring out how to monetize the art project your four-year-old is doing. Been there.
Monetize it?
Most of ChasingSupermom.com is built on the back of monetizing special things I do with my children. Huh. Still good ideas, but I would have lived my life differently. Or choosing to not sit and mentally prepare your shopping list while sitting on the beach.
Yeah.
Also been there.
Okay.
Or like you're somewhere beautiful, but like
you're not there.
Like, but I am. I'm looking at it. My phone's not out. Doesn't mean you're there.
Right.
Or, you know, I'm saying this. I like this idea. Listen to music, but don't listen while you're doing something else. Like just appreciate the music. We don't always have to multitask. Sometimes it can just be about, I'm just listening. Huh. Right? It just sounds so foreign. Like, what?
I had a friend. What'd you say? I had a friend who would do that, though. So that is interesting. Like, I never did that.
Yeah.
Unless I was with them. Oh, let's listen to this song.
Two of my kids were doing it today. They were like literally laying on the floor of their bedroom, just listening to music.
I think I did
like,
as a kid.
Huh.
I mean, when I was younger.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I did as a kid.
As a grown up?
No.
No.
It's on while I'm cooking dinner, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
The awe of the thing needs to be enough, at least sometimes.
Right.
GoSkippingStones.com said, creative rest is a place where there is no pressure to produce, but simply a moment to marvel at your surroundings.
Okay.
I love it. Mm-hmm. Love it. Okay. This is another truth, but this one's easier to swallow. You can find it in the small moments.
Right.
You do not need to haul yourself to the beach every time you need to replenish your creative energy.
Yeah. I mean, you can't rely on that.
No. Even if you live, you know, super close, it's just not feasible. To quote Simon and Garfunkel, slow down, you move too fast. You've got to make the morning last. So find the small moment. One site I studied suggested it can be as small as walking the dog to the end of the driveway or walking with your coffee over to the window to look at the trees in your yard.
Something that made me happy when we did podcast last time is there were two people that were picking pears out of this tree. Yeah, so see? I keep looking for people to come and pick, but I guess it's over.
That's cute, though. That's like, that's a, it is. It's a small. It can be small.
Just small. It made me smile. It made me happy.
You just noticed something that filled you with delight.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would put that as a delight.
Yes.
It did make me.
I like that.
Very happy inside.
I really like that. So just find the small moment. You don't need to go on a 3-week trip to Maui. You know, even though we're talking about that, you can get some good deals right now. Like, let's replenish their economy, but. Mm-hmm. You don't have to go on a vacation.
Right.
You can find a small moment in your yard.
I think that we need to find the small moments that are not. I mean, yes, vacations are fantastic.
Oh, they're amazing. We should take them.
Like, your road trips really reset you. That's fantastic. But you can't do a road trip all the time.
We can't even do it every year.
Or, like, or even the places that you mentioned that. You know,
yeah.
You can't do that all the time. We have to find something that's going to allow this rest more frequently.
Yes. Amen. I had to say that for Sid. Who's totally fine, by the way. Like, Sid and Julian, they're both fine. They're both doing fine. I hope they come back eventually. Yeah. Here's a truth. Some people need to hear this more than others. I'm sorry to end on this truthful note.
Okay.
You cannot always be the fixer.
Right.
Because we talked a list. Creative exhaustion comes from problem solving all the time.
Right.
Some of us want to fix everything. And one of the biggest trains is problem solving. And while most of us can't really avoid daily problem solving because that's
natural,
our life,
right?
You know, but most of us, if we're being honest, are constantly trying to fix things that are not ours to fix.
Yeah, true.
Sometimes it's things that we're just totally incapable of fixing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's something that's not our business to fix.
That's true. Good point of that.
Yeah. Here, I'll just tell you this right now. You can't fix other people.
No, you can't.
Spend a lot of my life trying.
Don't even waste your time trying.
It is a waste of time.
It is. Frustration, and it doesn't end how you want it to end.
No, and it steals your precious creative energy that you could be using in better ways.
Right.
So don't do it.
Nobody can fix us for us.
No, many have tried. All have failed. Okay, now I'm ending with this. I said last week I was going to try to find a Jesus example.
Okay,
I think I did.
Yay. Go Jesus.
Right? Like, amazing that he would show us how to live.
What?
So I had spent most of my time, you know, as a believer, studying Jesus, zeroing in on his words, like what he said.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't really given a lot of thought to the way he lived, to like the rhythms he set for his life.
Right.
So one thing that I was doing this week as I was studying is that's clear about Jesus is that he consistently and intentionally stepped away from the demands of his work.
Yeah, he did.
It's awesome. Mm-hmm. And as we discussed in today's episode, one of the primary components of creative rest is awe and wonder. Mm-hmm. And the primary source of awe and wonder is nature.
Right.
So all throughout the Gospels, Jesus retreats by himself,
right,
often to pray. And whenever we're told his location, it's nature.
Right.
And we can tell through scripture that Jesus was fond of both the mountains and the water.
Right.
Both of which are pretty inspiring.
Right.
So I love that. Here are some examples specifically. After feeding the 5,000, Jesus goes to the mountains to pray.
Mm-hmm.
The night before choosing his disciples, he went into the hills to pray. Before the transfiguration, he went to the mountain to pray. And we know he spent tons of time teaching and being by the water.
Right.
So he loved nature, and he consistently retreated. And as I was thinking about Jesus and the application we could and should draw from his rest habits, I was struck not just by his consistency, but the way his rest was strategic.
Right.
So I want to point out, the last thing I want to point out today is that it's important that Jesus was one, engaging in physical rest, both or creative rest, mm-hmm. preventatively and restoratively. So he was doing it before and then immediately following times of work and problem solving.
Right.
Which I love. And I think a lot of us are better at doing it after.
After.
When we're tired and burnt out. But I love like the example that the night before he chose his disciples, he went into nature by himself to pray. That preventative, that I'm about to do something that's going to take. No, he was God. He was still human. Like a lot of creative energy.
Right.
Big decision. It was like, okay, this is probably going to drain my cup. I need to make sure it's full. Mm-hmm. Love it. We need to get better about preventative rest. Right. So that's the example I'm leaving you with.
All right. Good example.
Take it, roll with it, go have fun, go delight in something this week.
Small things.
Take that 5-minute break.
Yep.
You can do this. We'll be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Girl on a Hill podcast. Please help us out by sharing the podcast with your friends, connecting with us on social media, and leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. We're here to climb the hill with you as we all work to stop hiding, start shining, and be the women we were created to be. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.